And, man, they ministered to that 75,000 people and I think several other 100,000 in the surrounding areas. I knew at one time, I do not know if it is still true, but I knew at one time they were busing to about five states. That was Hawaii, Alaska, no. The surrounding states there, they're kind of strategically located there in Texas where they can get into several states. I know they run bus routes into Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, which is about 2 hours and a half, 2 hours and 45 minutes one way. Through the years have literally led hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. It is amazing, an amazing work. It is a work built on soul winning. It's not a work built on the newfangled ideas of the day. They're going after lost people. There's lost sinners, just whoever hear the gospel message. The three W's: win 'em, wet 'em, and work 'em. The National Soul Winning Clinic, year after year, is always a blessing and a help. The song the choir sang this evening, we heard it at clinic. I go to clinic, and we write down everything we can and implement it here. And just in so many ways, Dr. Gray has touched our church and touched our churches for God's glory. And I thank the Lord for him. I've asked him to come once again, preach to us, take his time, and give us what we need. I hope the Lord will speak to our hearts this evening. Let's welcome Dr. Gray to the pulpit.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. May be seated. All right. Thank you. Have a seat. Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Sit down. Thank you. All right, sit down. Thank you very much. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I need treble. If you'll turn the treble up, there'll be no trouble. Turn the treble up. Get that bass down, if you would. I went to Hiles Anderson College, and I have to have that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It is an honor to be here, Pastor. Thank you for inviting me to come. And I always look forward to being with you, Pastor. He's a lot of fun. I like being with preachers who are a lot of fun. I don't like to be with preachers who are not much fun. And then, of course, we had Dick Berry driving us around, and how much more fun can you have? What a name, Berry. Berry. Beery? Beer? With a Y. Okay. He drives like it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Last year, I asked him, I said, what's your theme for your church this year? He went, duh. He didn't know. So this year, I get in the car, and he says, anything you want to ask me? No. Drive a little bit further. He said, you sure you don't ask me something? I said, no. He said, oh, come on, ask me what the theme is. He said, I wrote it down. So he had to look at the card, you know. But so I asked him, I said, how many acres you got here? He said, duh. I said, work on it. I'll be back. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I got to read this to you. The Survivor, the craze they've got, Survivor programs. There's a new program, Survivor Texas Style. The contestants start in Dallas, travel to Waco, Austin, San Antonio, over to Houston, down to Brownsville. They'll then proceed up to McAllen, Rio Grande City, and Laredo, to Del Rio, on to El Paso, then to Midland, Odessa, Lubbock, and Amarillo. From there, they'll proceed to Abilene, Fort Worth, and finally back to Dallas. Each will be driving a pink Lexus with a bumper sticker that reads, I'm gay, I'm a vegetarian, I voted for Al Gore, and I'm here to confiscate your guns. And the guy that survives wins. Put a tag on that bag. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment. And verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to take your pen in verse 17, underline this. This is an amazing statement. For our light affliction, I want to talk to you about that. Have you ever been to an event and it seemed like it lasted for an eternity? You ever been to a recital? There is a purgatory. It is a piano recital. That just, like I said, lasts forever. And then have you ever been in something else where it seems it went so fast, so quick? I want you to listen carefully, because he said our light affliction. Boy, when you pastor, a lot of people are hurting. A lot of hurting people. And it's hard to imagine good people going through tough times. But really, the question is asked 1,000 times a day, literally by multitudes of God's people around the world. Why? Why? And this affliction that occurs to people, how in the world do some people make it? My wife has had 23 surgeries. I'm talking about major surgeries since we've been in Texas these 23 years. It is just, she's bedridden now. Hasn't been to church in, I guess, 9 months, 10 months. And it's been the most difficult thing that we've ever been through. But if you'll listen to me tonight, I'm not talking from some ivory tower perspective. I'm talking from reality. I want you to listen tonight because I want to help you. I want to talk to you about our light affliction is but for a moment. Now, Father, help us tonight. I want to be a blessing. It's more pastoral than anything tonight, the direction that you want us to go. But tonight, there's a purpose and a reason. I don't know what's going on in the lives of these dear folk, but I know if this is a typical congregation, there are people, if they had the opportunity, could stand up and open their heart, and it wouldn't be long, they'd be weeping. There are burdens here, there are afflictions here. Now help me to help your people so that we can do more for you. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. Maybe see it. Something happened to the PA. What'd you do? Did you do something to it? Okay, put that baby where I can, first of all, turn these monitors up where I can hear myself. I love hearing myself. There you go. And then get that thing set and take your cotton-picking hands off of it, or I'm going to come back here and slap you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Is he a big man? I said that down in the Bahamas. I said, get your hands off it, then we'll come back here and slap you. And the guy stood up when I said that, and he was 6'9". And he was a gorilla. And I said, you just play with that thing all night long. Why do good people go through tough times, and how do good people make it through tough times? The afflictions, being smitten. I see several people here tonight in wheelchairs. Languishing. We'll have a healing service at the end, so just hallelujah. But bowed down under the load. Grievous burdens. Affliction, suffering. And by the way, let me make this statement. Burdens, afflictions, and sufferings are not an abnormal experience for God's people. Let me say it again. Burdens, afflictions, and sufferings are not an abnormal experience among God's people. Rather, the Christian who does not suffer, who does not have a thorn in the flesh, is abnormal. Let me say it again. Rather, the Christian who does not suffer, who does not have a thorn in the flesh, is abnormal. I can prove it. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. In Acts we read that we must go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. So the best thing to do is to accept this truth that being saved does not exempt us from afflictions. It does not exempt us from suffering. Life in itself is going to bring suffering. Now, you just be born. just walk around. Just breathe a few days and you're going to have some suffering. Just the fact that you're alive is going to cause you to have suffering. Now, add to that, okay, write this down. Write life. That in itself is going to produce suffering. So if you're suffering today, it just means you're alive. It just means you're breathing. Life is going to bring suffering. Now write this down. Write down saved. Now, you add to that this truth. As a child of God, you are going to suffer. So you suffer just because you're breathing. You also add to that, how many are saved on your way to heaven? Wave it at me. Wave it. Glad you're saved. Okay. Those, what is this, Nazarene? How many are saved? Raise it up. Let me see. Man, a little deodorant would have helped this service a lot. Now, understand, just breathing is going to cause you suffering. Now, add to that. Go ahead and get saved. Get born again. And then your lost family member is going to get mad at you. Your neighbor is going to get mad at you. The guy you used to go gamble with, he's going to get mad at you. And now you're going to suffer, just adding to that, the fact that you're saved. So life in itself is going to bring tribulation. Then add to that getting saved. Now you have additional suffering. Now add to that this truth. Write down rebellion. If you ever decide, in fact, John chapter 15, go ahead and turn there. I wasn't intending to do this, but I'm going to. Look like you need it. John chapter 15. This is a fruit-bearing chapter in John chapter 15. And there's something that stands out here in this chapter. In John chapter 15, there are those that produce fruit and those that do not produce fruit. Now, those that produce fruit, God says He'll purge. That's pain. There are those then that do not produce fruit, and He says those will be punished. So someone who goes towards Christ and wants to do right, he's going to be purged. He's going to have pain. If a fellow says, I'm not going to serve Christ, and he goes the other way, he's going to suffer. He's going to have pain. That's going to be punishment. So, I got good news for you, child. You're going to get it no matter what. Now, I would rather suffer fruitfully than suffer fruitlessly. If I got to go through this life, and I have to go through it, and I'm going to suffer, well, hey, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to take some people with me to heaven. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to make my life, if I've just got to suffer, I'm going to, then it'd be wise for me not to run from Christ, but to run to Christ. Now, kind of get the picture. Here we are alive and breathing on planet Earth. That means, in itself, the fact that we're alive, we are going to suffer. Now, go ahead and get saved. Now you get saved. Guess what's going to happen? Now you're going to have some additional suffering because you're going to have people that don't understand you, and they'll call the pastor Jim Jones, and so he don't even like Kool-Aid. But we are serving after the service. Okay, thank you. Understand that you're going to suffer just because you are breathing. You are going to suffer because you are saved. If you decide not to serve Christ, then you are also going to suffer. And then if you decide to serve Christ, you are going to suffer. Sounds to me like we got suffering all around us. So it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Whether you're saved, not saved, doesn't matter. You're going to have certain pains in life. So no one, saved or lost, is going to get through this life without paying the price for the sin of Adam. Then add to that the tribulation that a Christian must endure in this world. Then add to that the chastening when you decide you get mad one day and you're not going to go back to church, not going to serve God. Add to that the chastening hand of God to a rebellious child of God. Then you shake yourself and you say, this isn't good. I've got to do right. So you shake yourself. You get up, grab your Bible, dust it off, and you go back to church. And so you get to church. Guess what happens? Now you've got some more pain because God is purging you, so you're coming to Christ. So it looks to me like you got born. That got you in trouble. So now you're suffering. Then, here you get saved, now you add additional suffering. Then you get mad and stay home, and you still get suffering. Then you get right with God, go to church, and then you're still... So far, this is an exciting sermon, isn't it? So, you have then levels of affliction, levels of burdens, and levels of heartache, and level of tears, and levels of pain, and levels of heartbreak. You have the affliction of humanity. You have the affliction of being saved. You have the affliction of rebellion. You have the affliction of getting right and serving God. So it looks like you're going to catch it no matter what. Now, if God is chastening you, shout, because at least you're God's child and you're not going to hell. So if you decide to rebel and God whoops you, then thank God, whoop, whoop, that's bad. Whip, whoop, bad. So God then chastens you, and so you find yourself then punishment. So let's get the sermon down. You get born into this world, guess what you got? Pain. You got trouble. And then one day a soul winner came by and got you saved. And boy, you thought that was the answer to everything. So you got saved, went to church, got baptized, joined the church. Guess what happened? Pain. Your neighbors didn't understand. Your drunken buddies didn't understand. Your old crowd didn't understand. And they thought you somewhat of a snob, and they thought that you were better than them, so you suffer because of it. Oh, then you get mad and stay home, don't go to church. I'm mad and all this done. I didn't have all these problems till I got saved. I got saved and I got all these problems, and so I'm going to get mad and stay home. So you stay home, and the Heavenly Father steps in, takes his belt off, whoops you real good, and you say, well, this isn't much fun. So you run down the house of God, and you get right with God. I'm going to serve God. Get me a bus route. Guess what happens? Now you have pain because God is purging you so that you can produce more fruit. Now, notice 2 Corinthians 4:17. Paul gives us a glimpse into the purposes of God in allowing afflictions to come upon us. There are three words in verse 17 that are absolutely astounding to me. Paul uses the words, our light affliction. From the first day that Paul was saved, he had been afflicted. He had been imprisoned. He had been shipwrecked. He had been beaten. He had been scourged. He had been maligned. He had been threatened. He had been stoned. Not like what you were last Saturday night, but he was stoned. Humor. Humor. Am I in Canada? So, we're close to that border. That's what it is, huh? So, Paul had known poverty, he had known want, he had known hunger, he had been rejected by his own nation, rejected by his own people. I believe he was saved. I believe he had a wife, part of the Sanhedrin court. I think his wife left him. I think he lost his wife. He had been hounded from place to place. He had been afflicted with a thorn in the flesh, which was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And before his life was over, he would be falsely accused. He would be in prison, he would be condemned, and he would, at the end, be beheaded for the cause of Christ. Now, wait a minute. Paul, is this a light affliction? I can hear him answer, yes, it is but a light affliction. Now, wait a minute. This is astounding. None of us have suffered as Paul did, yet we murmur. None of us have suffered like Paul did, yet we whine. None of us have suffered like Paul did, yet we put on a sad face when we come to church. Nobody, none of us have suffered like Paul did, yet we're blue. None of us have suffered like Paul, yet we're downhearted. None of us have suffered like Paul, yet we're in the dumps. And we feed our selfishness by looking for others to feel sorry for us and so on. But the truth is, none of us have suffered like Paul suffered. But Paul said, this is but a light affliction. Now hold it. You get affliction just cause you're breathing. Then you fooled around and got saved, ruined your whole life. Now you got people hating all around you. You say, boy, I thought being a Christian, I thought this would be great. But now you got people mad at you. So you get mad, stay home. Fool you on this stuff. This is stay home. And so God takes his belt out, starts whipping you. Now you got more pain. Now you run down to the house of God and get right with God and get straightened out and get you a bus route. Now what you got? You got more pain. And yet there's a level of living for God where God said it's but a light affliction through the Apostle Paul. Here's we suffer. We suffer when the air conditioning isn't working. We suffer when the heat isn't working. We suffer when the cable goes out. And it's the fourth quarter and the Giants are ahead. We suffer when the electricity is off for a couple of hours. We suffer when the bread is stale. We suffer when sewage is backed up. We suffer when people lie about us. We suffer when it's 90 degrees in the shade. We suffer when our mother-in-law comes to town. Wait a minute. Yeah. You heard about the boy who had a mother-in-law. He didn't like her. It was an unusual situation. And lo and behold, she didn't get sick. And lo and behold, she didn't die. And the fellow went to the funeral, and he was sitting there. And all of a sudden, the fellow started crying. And his wife leaned over and poked him and said, you did love mother too, didn't you? He said, no, I thought I saw her move. Humor. Humor. So, no one under the sound of my voice has suffered like Paul suffered. And yet, Paul said his suffering is but a light affliction. Now, Paul makes that statement even more striking and intriguing when he adds this. Our light affliction, which is but
for a moment. Let me show you how startling this verse is. Paul served the Lord, write this down, 35 years, write that down. Paul served the Lord for 35 years from the day that he got saved. When Saul of Tarsus met Jesus on the road to Damascus, accepted Christ as a personal Savior, for 35 years from that day he suffered. Hold it, 35 years of suffering, 35 years of affliction, 35 years of privation, 35 years of starvation, 35 years of beatings, 35 years of being in prison over and over again, 35 years of being left for dead, 35 years of shipwreck. Yet, Paul said, light affliction, and he added this, which was but for a moment. My, what right do we have as saved people living in America, living in the most prosperous nation in the world, living in the heart of freedom, living in the lap of luxury, living with the year 2003 with more gadgets, conventions, conveniences, and witty inventions to make life easy? Who in the world are we to sit around and complain and gripe and bellyache? Paul said, for 35 years I've been through it. But it was nothing but a light affliction. And he said, just for a moment. Just for a moment. We who have not been faithful, we who have not been zealous, complain. He who was faithful and suffered more than we did, rejoiced. He who was zealous more than we are and suffered more than we did, he said it was but a light affliction. Maybe there's a connection. Maybe there's a connection between zealousness. Maybe there's a connection between faithfulness and being sold out and afflictions being light. Now hold it. We have discovered affliction is going to be here. I got good news for you boys. Ain't nothing but trouble ahead. God is saying, get in this life. That's why you teenagers look so sad right now. You know, if you're at age 12 and 13 and you're sad now, what in the world are you going to do when you get married? You'll kill somebody when you get there. Now, hold it. Maybe there's a connection. Maybe it is true that the football player who stands around is the one that gets hurt. You know, we got to work these Bible stories in here somewhere. Maybe it is true that the fella who's the zealot, the fella who's sold out, the fella, maybe he's the guy that doesn't get hurt as much. Maybe it is the fella who sold out for the cause of Christ, the hurt is not as deep. Maybe it is the fellow who's zealous and gives himself and lays his life on the line and who has more affliction than anybody else. Maybe it's true that somewhere in there, the affliction then all of a sudden becomes light because this guy's sold out for the cause of Christ. Could it be that the preacher who's the right-wing, hard-hitting, fundamental, hellfire, damnation Baptist preacher who sold out? Maybe it's true. Maybe that's why Jack Howes was as happy as he was. Maybe that's why Lee Robertson's as happy. Why? That guy, why aren't you laughing? Why aren't you shouting? Why aren't you saying amen? You've looked sad tonight, yet you've never been stoned. Well, you're thinking about it, aren't you? How can we expect that we should escape so easily the things that Paul faced and the hardships that Paul experienced? Somebody somewhere sold you a spiritual wooden nickel. You've watched too many Benny Hinn programs. That breathing on people and them falling out is not the power of God. That's halitosis. If the guy had just brushed his teeth, these things wouldn't be happening. You've listened once too often to Jimmy Swaggart. You fell for Jim and Tammy Baker's gospel of greed and gold. You listened to Oral Roberts once. Pray for him, he's in the hospital. He was walking his ducks the other day and a motorboat ran him over. Humor. Don't ever trust a charismatic that wears glasses. Now, I always feel bad when one of them dies. The crazy thing about it is, Oral Roberts started a hospital when he was supposed to be a healer, and then he couldn't keep the hospital going. He couldn't even heal the hospital. I promise you, there's a big difference, a chasm of distance between Bible Christianity
and the modern charismatic movement. We think because we are saved that the pathway of the saved should be roses without thorns, sunshine without clouds, storms without lightning and tornadoes, marriage without a mother-in-law. Where did that come from? A loan without interest, a paycheck without work, a dental appointment without pain, a life without troubles. It wasn't that way with Paul. It wasn't that way with Job. It wasn't that way with David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist lost his head, James and Peter and John the Beloved. But for some strange reason, we act as though we should go through life without pain, life without struggle, life without affliction, life without heartache, life without heartbreak, life without burdens, life without a fight. And the truth is, it's not going to happen. Now, the fact that you're alive, you're going to have troubles. How many are saved? Let's see your hand. Then you crazy nuts, you went and got saved. Now you got added trouble. And then you got mad, stayed home. Said, well, I got all this trouble. I might as well stay home. I didn't have all this trouble before I got saved. Of course you didn't. You only had one level of affliction. Now you got two levels of affliction. So rebel and stay home. Now you have three levels of affliction. Then you come back to church and get right with God. Now you got four levels of affliction. Now somewhere in here, we've got to get to the point where Paul was, where that affliction was a light affliction. If you ever decide to do something great for God, get ready, because God will continue to purge you. Now, if the Lord does not send affliction and trials, then you may well doubt whether He sees in you anything worthy of development. Listen to what I'm saying. If the Lord does not send affliction and trials, then you may well doubt whether He sees in you anything worthy of development. The more fruitful your life, the more the Lord will cultivate it, the more He will plow it, the more He will purge it, and the more He will bestow labor on it. No plow point ever pierces the barren desert sands. So our worth to Christ may be measured then by our trials and our testings and our afflictions. This white glove fundamentalism that is emulating the charismatics and the Southern Baptists who take no stand, who fight for no fight for right, who feel no pain of battle, whose Bibles are counterfeits, whose standards are nil, whose convictions are as fluid as water, whose hymns have been replaced with worship choruses on theater screens so the crowd can sing charismatic words put to music in place of hymnals with the tried and tested songs of the faith, and have resurrected Mitch Miller to lead the sing-alongs to the bouncing ball, are repulsed at the thought of suffering for right. You see, it would hurt their offerings. It would hurt their attendance. It would hurt their building programs. It would hurt the growth of their Bible college. Listen, I'm saying that suffering comes. First, simply because you're born. Second, you got saved. Now you got two levels of affliction. Then you got mad and stayed home. Now you got three levels of affliction. Now you come back and get right with God to serve. Now you got four levels of affliction. But somewhere it seems like we're getting close now to where Paul was when he said all of this is a light affliction. Write it down. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. How many of you are saved? Let's see again. We'll make sure we hadn't lost anybody. Ultimately, all of us who are saved will be exactly like Jesus. So one day, when time has ceased, when the earth is replaced by the new earth, when the new heavens and the new Jerusalem are here, all of us who are saved will be like Jesus. So all of us are one shout away, one trumpet blast away, one twinkle of an eye away, one heartbeat away, 1/16th of a second away from being like Jesus. Now hold that thought and think with me. For 57 years, I have been one shout away, one thought, one trumpet blow away, one twinkle of an eye away, one heartbeat away, 1/16 of a second away from being like Jesus. Now hold that thought. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be, not to heaven or hell, but to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The process to make us like Jesus began the day that I got saved in 1957. That process, God has worked on me and worked on me and worked on me through heartache, through suffering, through heartbreak, through all of that in order to make me like him. Now, apparently then, if I am one day going to be like him and God is working on me to make me like him, then shouldn't I then decide to be like him today? And the only way I can is by diving in and dying to myself and living for him. The only reason church seems like it's 3 hours long is because you're not sold out for Christ. The only reason sermons are dull to you because you don't give a flip if you get anything from the Word of God. But if there's some of you that are sold out, I promise you, preaching is but a light affliction. Haven't you ever gone to church and you said, so soon? I know it's not that way when he preaches, but I mean, so soon? You know, I just thought about something. I better leave you alone. We haven't taken up the offering yet. I didn't mean a word I said. Now, I'm just saying, don't you understand? My wife tonight is lying in a bed of affliction. She goes from the bed to the tub that the dear church, God bless them, they spent $5,000 preparing a tub over here so she can get some relief. And sometimes she spends all night in that whirlpool trying to get some relief in that and goes back to bed. And then the only time she ever goes out is go to the doctor. Don't you know, please, don't you understand that if you're not sold out for Christ, if you're not just living, if you're not just saved, if you're not just sitting home and pouting, all these afflictions are giant afflictions, but somewhere in here, when you get to a point, you're like Paul, and you're sold out, and you're a zealot for God, and you're in there, and you're battling for God, and you're in the middle of it. It seems like but a light affliction. Look, I went to Howes Anderson College, and I stocked shelves at Jewel Food Store for $2.35 an hour. Thank God for you women. You women pick stuff up and walk around the store and say, I don't want this, and you put it down anywhere. My job was to go around and get the Cheerios and put it back where the Cheerios was. You women keep that up. You're supplying somebody's food on the table. Keep changing your mind, would you? Look, I know what it's like to live on nothing. I know what it's like to have to go down to the school and take your kids out of the Christian school because you just couldn't pay the bill or the lights are shut off. I understand that. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't you fall for these TV charismatic preachers, not for a second. And I'm saying that. Look, affliction's going to come just because you're living. Man, these are trifocals. There was a day I didn't have it. Do you wear glasses? You should. You need to get yours checked the way you drive. We're on the hill. Chug, 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 chug. I think he's taking driving lessons from your daughter. Well, that didn't go over very well, did it? Oh, we haven't taken the love offering yet, have we? I better be nice. Now, I'm just saying, it seems like I'm obsessed with that love offering. Now, it beats the $3 you're going to get. I mean, anyway, Listen, if I am one shout away, if I am one trumpet blast away from being like him, then why do I want to live down here not like him? I'll try this side. If I'm one shout away, and I'm one trumpet blast away, if that's all I am from being like him, then why in God's name don't I just sell out now? Why don't I just decide to be the nut that everybody says I am? Why don't I just decide to stand up and say, thank God I'm independent Baptist. Thank God I've got standards. Thank God I'm King James. Or thank God I am. Now, somewhere in here, the fella who's the zealot, who sold out, the afflictions are light. That's why he said, 35 years, forgive me for putting it this way, but 35 years of hell on earth. Is that cussing? I don't know. I'm leaving town Wednesday anyway. But wait a minute. How can he say that? Because he was sold out. If all you are just here tonight and all you are is just living, I guarantee you're suffering. And those of you got saved, now you got a second level of affliction. Then those of you that are mad at the preacher, mad at the church, mad at everything, stay home half the time, don't go to church half the time. You're getting it because God's whooping you. And then those of you got tired of that and decided to get right with God and come to church, get a bus route, you're suffering. But there's a level, a fifth level, a level where people are sold out to the Word of God, sold out to the cause of Christ, sold out to soul winning, sold out to keep people out of hell. I mean sold out. I mean the kind of a nut that'll work a bus route 4 and 5 hours on a Saturday. The kind that'll actually visit his Sunday school class. I mean the kind that actually shows up for soul winning every week. I mean the kind, the fellow who actually says amen to preaching. You know, about 2 or 3 of you women are going to die with that look on your face. And when you do, that mortician's going to earn his bucks, baby. I met the happiest lady I've ever met. I told Pastor about it on the plane. 85 years of age, sitting next to me. And I asked her, she said, yeah, I got saved as a little girl. And she said, I said, well, what are you flying up here for? She said, I'm getting married. I'm getting married. I said, you'll have to forgive me. I said, I'm getting old. I thought you said you're coming up here to get married. Oh, yeah, I'm getting married. Huh. I said, have you talked to Planned Parenthood? She just started laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. She said, you know, we discussed it. We decided we weren't going to have any children. Man, I never laughed so hard in my life. That was the funniest woman I ever met in my life. She said to me, I don't look 85, do I? I wanted to say, no, you look like 135. You know, like 85. I tell you, she had the sweetest spirit. And she said, you know, she said, I'm the only person in my church that goes soul winning. So I'm the only one. She said, but I made up my mind years ago I wasn't going to let people die and go to hell. Now, maybe that's why she's got sweet. But don't you know, at 85 years of living, don't you know that lady's got pain? But for some reason, 85, it's just light affliction. I said, well, my mama's 90. Oh, she said, good, I got another 5 years. Maybe I can make it. My mama called me. I called her and back and forth and about her Christmas present a couple years ago. And I said, Mama, what do you want for Christmas? She said, let me think about it. She called back. She said, I want a rotor tiller. A rotor tiller? Yeah, I want a rotor tiller. Mama, you're 87. She said, don't get smart with me, boy. So we got together and bought her a rotor tiller. She loves that rotor tiller. She loves that rotor tiller more than she does me. She loves that rotor tiller. She's up at 4 o'clock in the morning, every morning, working that garden. She loves that garden. My mama witnesses every day that she's alive to somebody. She's a happy woman. Look, please, don't you understand? The Apostle Paul, 35 years of burdens and affliction, but he said it's just light. And he says, just for a moment. Sit around and think about your problems. Just sit around and think about them. Do you know how bad they'll get? They're bad enough. But just think about them. No, don't. Just think about them. And you want to commit Harry Carey. That's suicide. Somewhere in here. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers tonight. You don't even visit absentees, and you haven't visited them in years, and you're the biggest griper in the church. I'm talking to bus captains. You haven't been to a bus meeting in weeks. I'm talking to bus drivers. Don't show up half the time. I'm talking to church members that don't go soul winning faithfully, and you're not faithful to church like you ought to be, and you're miserable, and you're a griper, and you're known as Sister Ratchet Jaw in the church. Boy, I love being happy. I can't stand being sad. I can't stand it. I'm trying. it's so hard with such sad people. But I enjoy life. I was preaching in Mississippi and the question and answer session. This lady raised her hand. She said, Would you explain to me foolish jesting? She shot me. Blood coming out because I've been cutting up for 2 days, you know. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, foolish jesting is when you make fun of hell and make fun of heaven. I said, but God had to have a sense of humor or he never made a face like yours. It was out before I thought. So the only thing I could think of was, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I looked out and this woman started grinning like this. And she said, you know what? She said, you've made sense. I've listened to you for 2 days, and I thought you just a big cut-up. But she said, you know something? I don't have a friend in this church. When she said that, there was a whole chorus of amen. She said, but I've decided I'm going to start getting on top side. Now, anybody listening to me? Statements like, I can't take it anymore. Well, it is still going to come. I just can't take it anymore. It is still going to come your way. I'd suggest you throw the cross of Calvary into that bitter water so it can become sweet, because it's going to keep coming. Well, it's just about to ruin my home life. Well, look, you don't have to take it home with you. You could take it to Calvary. You could get things taken care of. Do you know if your spirit is wrong, you can't have the power of God? If your spirit is wrong, the Holy Spirit of God has no place to dwell but your spirit. When you tighten up and you're not right with God, you quench the Holy Spirit of God in God's dear name. Why don't you get yourself a good spirit? Why don't you decide to get sold out for God? Do it. Give it a second mile effort. It was the law. Roman soldier walking down the road with all of his armament and baggage. He could pick any Jew he wanted to and say, come here. And that Jew had to leave the field and come and carry that Roman soldier's garb for 1 mile. It was the law. If you could imagine a Jew working in the fields trying to feed his family, and a Roman soldier called him out of that field, that's 1 mile that way, and then turn around and come back, that's another mile back. But they had to. It was the law. Jesus said, I've got something good for you. This would be good for you. Jesus said, you saved people when that Roman soldier says, you come with me. Carry that baggage instead of griping. You know, like you do when your daddy asks you to mow the lawn. Daddy, it won't start. Yeah, it won't start. It won't start you. Put you out there and let you eat that grass. So you can just imagine these Jews, you know, griping, complaining, dragging along, picking up the bag 10 feet behind the Roman soldier. And the Roman soldier have to fuss and say, come on, come on. You can see that. And then can you imagine him getting one of these Jews that got saved and listened to Jesus? Hey, you, come here. Boom, 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 boom. He grabs the bag. Come on, fella, let's go. Hurry, come on, come on. Now, after a while, the Roman soldier is going to say, how much longer is this going to be? Then when they get the 1 mile done, guess what happens? The Roman soldier, that's it, now you can go back. No, I'm going another mile with you. Somebody say amen. Don't you understand? It's that second mile that makes you happy. It's that sound barrier that's broke. That barrier that calls you to be a light, afflicted Christian. I traveled with Dr. Howes for 20 years. I never... Anybody who ever says they saw him sit down and cry with his head on a desk is a liar. Never. I was with him when Sumner's article came out. I was with him when he wrote the reply. You know what he did? Joked. Laughed. I told the fellas today, I probably shouldn't tell. Is this being taped? he was in Philadelphia and he told a black story. Standing in the lobby. And this preacher standing like this, and he was just cutting up. He was having a good time is all he was doing. And when you can't laugh at yourself, there's something bad wrong. I don't care if it's being a Yankee or a Southerner or black or Mexican or Polack or whatever. I tell you, I've never seen Americans so touchy in my life about it. And as long as you don't make fun of me, I don't care. So this black man stepped off the elevator, and he heard him tell the story, and he tapped Brother Howes on the shoulder. This guy was 6'8". And he said, Brother House turned around, he said, I looked right at his belt buckle. And the guy said, I didn't appreciate that. I said, Brother House, what'd you do? He said, I looked up and said, I'm sorry. what you going to do? I'm senile and I'm old. I'll tell you what, somewhere in here we have just missed the boat. Somewhere in here why? You know why you look sad? Because you think somebody cares. I got news for you, they don't give flip. You come to church, you got that sad look. You want people to walk up and say, oh, God bless you, brother. God bless you. Come here, boy. They ain't going to do that because they want you to come over and hug them. When are you going to understand that's a horrible way to live? In God's dear name, why don't you get to that second level of living? Second mile Christianity. That way your afflictions are light. My wife's a clown. She's an absolute clown. First Sword of the Lord conference, I preached that. I got this thing where I say, I bet you men, you sissy, I bet you wear lace on your underwear. So the first time I preached with Curtis Hudson in Mount Vernon, Illinois, at a Sword conference, he drove. He didn't like to fly, so he drove to the meeting. And it just so happened I got to my motel room as he was driving up. He got out, shook my hand. We were chatting. He said, don't let me stop you. He said, go ahead and unpack. So we're just chatting. I go over the bag, and I slam it shut. He said, what's the matter? I said, nothing. He said, oh, come on. I said, nothing. He goes over, opens the bag. My wife had sewed lace on my underwear. And she put a note on it and said, have a nice day. Now, hold on. Here's a woman who's afflicted. Here's a woman who has every right in the world to want the whole world to feel sorry for her. Listen, I'm telling you, oh, listen, somebody somewhere, you're going to catch it just because you're living. Then you went a fool around and got saved. Now you're really getting it. And now you get mad and stay home and God still gets you. Then you come back to church and get right with God and you still catch it some more. The idea is to keep on going and keep on going and become a zealot for Christ. Get completely sold out so that that which comes your way is nothing. I mean nothing. It's as if you're living in the heavenlies now and you're being conformed to the image of Christ now. Don't wait till the rapture. Don't wait for the trumpet to sound. Live like Him now. Let me help you something. The devil cannot read your mind because you ain't got one. No, the devil cannot read your mind. I'm tired. But the Bible says God knows your thoughts, but only God. So all Satan does is read your reactions. So he plays off of that. So if you look sad at a certain subject, Satan writes it down and says, I'll keep clobbering with that. Now, if you're smart, what you'll do, hey, when the preacher's got you in the sermon, got you where the hair is short, and he's letting you have it, and you're sitting there looking around like that, the best thing in the world for you to do is grin real big. Say, hallelujah. Now, if you can't say amen, you can say, oh, me. I'll be switched if I'm going to let... We had some deacons when I first got... Deacons are always fun. When I first went to Longview, for some reason they didn't like me. I don't know why they didn't like me. It could have been that Sunday morning I announced I'm going to preach tonight on what is a heifer. I don't know. I announced Sunday morning I was going to preach tonight on the three biggest hypocrites in Longview Baptist Temple, and I'm going to name them. Maybe that got me in trouble. I don't know. That morning I was shaking hands with a little old lady. She kept hanging around. Finally, everybody left. And I love this name. I walked up and I said, Gertrude, what can I do for you? She said, I know who the first two are. It's that third one I'm worried about. But anyway. But I it was just one fight after another fight after another fight after another fight. And one day, of course, I believe, I read 50 chapters of the Word of God, 35 in the Old Testament, 15 in the New, and I read the 50 chapters. I read the Word of God every day. And I believe there are things in here that are applicable to me, and so when God says something, I write off the side. Yeah. But in my Bible, if you look at my Bible, you'll see question marks in my Bible. Doesn't mean I'm questioning the Word of God. I'm trying, what does that mean to me? And that morning, I read how that David had feigned that he was crazy. He was with the enemy, and a spittle came out of his mouth, and you know the story. So I read that, and I put a question mark next to it. I said, I don't understand how I'm going to use that. I don't understand that. God spoke to me. I said, I don't understand that. And so I went on about my day. And by the end of the day, I had a sinus headache. And it was the end of the day, and I'm walking out. Here come the chairman of the deacons in his pickup truck pulling in the parking lot. And he had his eyes fixed on me. So I started going this way, thinking but he kept coming this way. I turned and went this way, and he kept coming. I said, Lord, please help me. Please, you've got to help me. And I get face to face, and he's letting me have it. He's letting me have it. And I said, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. And the Holy Spirit said, I told you this morning what to do. I said, I think the airwaves were mixed up. I don't think you were talking to me. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, I told you what to do. I said, okay. So I started jerking like this. Got the biggest wad of spit in my mouth I could. I let that thing drool out of there. And I got me a big string down like that, you know, and I just started shaking like that. This chairman of the deacons looked up at me, and he said, you are crazy. Everything they said about you're nuts. And so he left. I saw him. Every time I see him, I'd go head straight for him. He'd go the other way. Hey, wake up. I'm trying to help you. Why don't you get yourself a good spirit about you? You're going to have to face it anyway. In God's dear name, make it a light affliction. If you're pastoring, welcome. Why do you want to quit? Put a smile on your face. Act like you know what you're doing. There's just no sense in this. We've got a great opportunity, a great job, and somebody needs to graduate that fifth level to where all of a sudden it just seems like a light affliction. Anybody ever play football in here? Anybody play football? You know, when you're sold out in a game and you're just going at it and going at it and going at it, sometimes you walk out with a broken finger. Don't even know it. Football players play with broken arms. Don't even know it. This McNabb, I think he played with a broken leg, didn't he? Didn't even know it. Now, why is that? Now, to them, it was a light affliction. Because they were engrossed in what they were doing. Why don't you get engrossed in what? Because you'll be like Jesus when the trumpet sounds. Well, why not be like him now? Father, help us tonight. This is so important. There are some...